Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad Podcast, episode 150.
Yay, 150 episodes.
Our 150th episode. We made it to the century and a half mark.
Yep.
Pretty impressive. I've got William and Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will, Henry?
Pretty good.
Great.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in our house at the moment. Mom is gone. She got in a car a couple days ago to drive all the way to Utah where Phoebe is to pick her up at college and bring her home. So she'll be gone another couple of days. It's just us boys here in the house. So that's kind of weird. Has it been weird to like come home and have nobody else home, Henry?
Yeah, but...
It is a little weird.
A little strange to be alone in a house until your brother gets home.
Mm-hmm. Imagine it'd be weirder
than your brother until mom gets home.
Imagine it'd be weirder in middle school to get out earlier.
Does it help to come home and have Maisie be home?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the good things about having a dog actually is coming home and having a dog there. And lately, I think even more, Maisie's had been acting like excited to see us when we come home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So just us at home. I've been at work during the day, so I've been making sure you make it to school, but then I go to work, and so you have to come home and be all alone till your brother gets home. And then I have to, like today, this is going to sound like I'm complaining. I'm not really complaining, but I kept calling you guys, and you weren't answering your phone, so I just assumed you were home. I assumed everything was fine, and that, like, you know, a serial killer hadn't come into our house and, like, murdered you all. We just got back. It's Friday night. We just got back from having Korean fried chicken at our favorite Korean fried chicken restaurant called Rice Chicken.
Korean fried chicken is really good.
It was really tasty. And we survived. Well, at least some of us survived the volcano chicken.
I didn't try it.
Oh my gosh, I did not survive.
So we ordered two kinds of chicken. We ordered like some boneless chicken. So if you don't know Korean fried chicken, it's really good because they coat it in rice flour and deep fry it, so it's like really crispy. And then like they have different flavors, but some of the flavors we got were kind of gooey on the outside. We ordered some boneless chicken that was sweet and spicy.
It was really good.
Sweet and spicy is not too spicy. It's just a little bit spicy.
Yeah.
It's
kind of really sweet. As much as I did, which is a lot, then your mouth might start to burn.
It's really good, though.
William wanted to get some really spicy chicken.
Yeah, because I was...
So we made one order of drumsticks that were volcano spicy.
I was young and ignorant back then.
And it should have been a warning because the person who took our order was like, oh, those are really spicy. Yeah. And then the person who delivered the chicken was like, these are really spicy. It's like we got two separate warnings.
And I had like three bites of it and my mouth was on fire for the next like 20 minutes. And you had three of them.
And I ate three drumsticks of the spicy chicken. And it was really spicy. Hmm. Henry did not have any of the volcano spicy ones.
I made a good choice.
William ate, about a half drumstick?
Like a fourth? I don't know. I had like three or four bites of it. And after that, my mouth's on fire.
And do you think you'll survive it?
I don't think I did. I think I'm dead.
It tasted really good. There was a really good flavor to it, but it was very, very spicy. There was a lot of pepper sauce in it, and for a while it felt like my tongue was on fire.
Yeah, the flavor itself is pretty good. You didn't look like your tongue was on fire.
Yeah, you just kept on eating them.
I mean, and it doesn't feel like I burned my tongue. Like, it wasn't the same as like when you burn your tongue on something that's hot, like hot soup, but I can still feel it just a little bit. Not too bad. I'm hoping that in my stomach, it's all going to work out okay.
I don't regret it
later,
you.
Like a couple hours later.
I kind of like afterwards when you can just like breathe and like your mouth is on fire whenever you breathe. But like right after you've eaten it, it's like
I did feel
suffering.
a little bit like a dragon.
Yeah, like it feels like you're breathing fire.
I mean, if you're a dragon, then I guess that means I'm a lizard.
No. So rice chicken, it's really good, really tasty. They also bring you out like little sides with it, like cabbage with salad dressing on it and little diced radishes.
Yeah, their sides are always really good.
I like those. What else is going on? We've talked about in the past that we have a bird's nest on our back porch. And recently we had a new bird family move in. For a while, the nest was kind of abandoned. Or every once in a while, you just see a bird up there. But I don't think it was actually living up there. But we now have had another bird family move in. I looked at their little tiny birds, and I looked up, you know, just based on a description of what the birds were, and was able to identify them. They are house finches.
Hmm. Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're house finches. And the male house finch has a really red coloring on its head. And then the female is just kind of brown. And apparently they're very social birds.
Social as in with each other? Or
like with each other, yeah. They kind of live in families. And what else did I find out about them? They're not aggressive to people, but they can be aggressive to other birds. They are vegetarian, apparently. Which I didn't realize that some birds are vegetarian. I thought they all ate like worms and bugs, but I guess these eat mostly seeds. So that's been kind of fun to watch the birds flying in and out of the nest on the back of our porch. Every now and then I feel like, am I really being a responsible homeowner for letting birds live on the back of the porch? Because they're a little bit dirty. And I feel like I don't want to like destroy someone's home, but maybe I shouldn't let those birds live there because they're a little bit gross. And sometimes they poop on our backyard porch.
Well, there's
maybe
just
when
one.
Summer comes and all the hailstorms are gone.
There's just one nest on the speaker, right?
Yeah. And when I decide that, you know, when they get tired of that nest and move away, I'd feel less bad about destroying a home if there's no birds currently living in it.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen the birds out there yet, but I have noticed a lot of really cool birds lately.
So wait, I wonder if either all birds like can be in each other's nests and they can just have each other's nests or something.
I don't know.
All make the same nest. Or maybe they just renovated the home.
Maybe they do. One thing that mom found out about these kind of birds, house finches, that I thought was really funny, is that they will stay together as a family, and the mama bird will like hatch the eggs and take care of the hatchlings when they're little. And when the babies are really little, she'll like clean the nest for them. But when they get to be a little bit older, she stops bothering. Like, she's not going to clean it for them anymore.
Yeah.
They're like teenage birds. She's just going to let them live in their mess.
Yeah.
Sound familiar?
But I've noticed there's been a lot of like cardinals and robins and blue jays out.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of birds. I think you can really tell it's springtime because you noticed a lot of birds.
Especially when I go to the bus stop in the morning, and I can just hear all the birds chirping.
In the morning, yeah.
Now
yeah, I can like see all the birds like on the top of rooftops or on the very top of trees.
Now I can identify all the birds because of my animal identification unit in outdoor education.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did it like a few months ago.
What the birds are?
Yeah, we had like quizzes over like identifying different animals and birds and fish.
How many different kinds of birds did you learn about?
There was like 20, and they taught to us, and then like the next class period, we had a quiz over it.
Oh, really?
We had like A and B days, so we got like a day to study, or I guess 2 days, but...
Yeah, I think like the most common ones you see around here are mockingbirds. You see a lot of mockingbirds. You see a lot of blue jays. Sometimes you see cardinals. What else? Finches, I guess.
We're learning more about like ones in nature than just like in the suburbs, but there's still a couple.
This is nature. This is sort of nature. You see a lot of red-tailed hawks around.
Yeah, all the hawks are cool.
Yeah. I saw one the other day that it looked like a big, like a raptor, like a bird of prey, but it didn't look like a hawk. It looked like it was almost like a falcon or an osprey or something.
Lately,
it's really cool looking.
Lately, I've seen a lot of vultures.
Yeah.
Which
I've seen vultures and they're like eating dead rabbits on the road or something.
Okay, I actually no longer...
They're pretty much janitors, though.
So I no longer look at vultures as like, ew, that's a vulture. I look at them more like seeing like a wild turkey or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, they're just cool to me now instead of being creepy.
Yeah, they seem like that one creepy janitor.
They're both cool and creepy.
Yeah, they don't kill animals like all the other ones. They just clean up after animals that just decide to die in the middle of the road.
Yeah, like animals, like, you seriously didn't clean up after yourself?
Yeah, they do good work. They do the work no one else wants to do.
Yeah, and they don't like attack anyone or anything. They just chill around
and
with all their other
with food
with all their other vulture friends.
One other thing that happened to me the other day that was kind of funny. Got a story to tell. So I've talked about on the podcast before how every day at work, if it's good weather, I try to walk to lunch to be more healthy. So I've been walking a lot. I try to get like 2 or 3 miles at lunch and just walking.
Mm.
So the other day I went out of our building and there's like a big kind of grass and trees that surround our building. And on one side of the building, there's kind of a lake and there's a walkway that goes all the way around it. So I always walk around the building and then walk to where the restaurants are and then walk the other way back. And I came out of the building and I was walking down the sidewalk and I looked over and there was a tree, kind of a big tree. And at the trunk of the tree, there was a pair of pants and a pair of shoes. And I was like, what the heck?
It's the trees.
Is there a pair of pants and a pair of shoes doing there?
It's the trees. And I was so confused.
Like, who would just leave a pair of pants and a pair of shoes at the trunk of this tree? And then I was actually like looking up in the tree. I was like, well, did they climb the tree? I don't know why. Like, that was my thought. I don't know why you'd take off your pants to climb a tree or your shoes for that matter. But I was, but it was kind of like a really good climbing tree. Like, I had a whole bunch of branches. So I was like, is there someone like up in the tree that doesn't have pants on?
Okay. So they're going to stay overnight in the tree. They're going to sleep in the tree. And they brought an extra change of clothes, but forgot to bring a shirt. That's the best theory I can come up with.
So I'm walking around this tree, and I'm like kind of looking up at the tree, and I'm looking down to where the pants are, and I just kind of keep walking because I wasn't just going to stop there. And like a couple minutes later, I think I saw the culprit. Because this man comes, and he's walking. He doesn't have any pants on. He doesn't have any shoes on.
Underwear?
Well, he was wearing kind of like bike shorts, you know? They're like really thin shorts. So not like, I mean, you could wear those as underwear, but you could also wear them underneath pants. And he's just got like biker shorts and barefoot, and he's like walking toward the tree. So I'm like, okay, he must have, my theory, I didn't talk to him and ask him, hey, what's going on here? But here's my theory. My theory is that it was like a really nice day outside. It was sunny. The wind was, there was like a light breeze, and he was thinking, hey, you know what would feel really good right now? To walk around without shoes or pants on nice green grass.
No, wait. I think what happened was, like, he was doing barefoot running or whatever, and he had athletic shorts on.
Or he was just jogging. He was like, you know, these jeans are really slowing me down, so he just took them off and put it near a tree.
It could be that he was running, but he was walking when I saw him. He was walking back toward
his
pants.
Maybe he was just tired.
And I was thinking, you know,
I'm running.
He's kind of my hero. Like, someone who would be like, this is such a nice day. I bet it'd be even better if I didn't have pants or shoes.
I don't see how that's your hero, but
like, he's living his best life.
I was going to suggest that some sort of like unfinished shrine.
Oh. Like, there's there's a little bit of a postscript to the story. Today when I was walking, so that was yesterday. Yesterday I saw the pants and the shoes at the trunk of the tree. Today when I was walking, almost in that same place, just a little bit further down the path, I saw a guy. Different guy, not the same guy, different guy, wearing only shorts, really short shorts, no shirt, no pants, no shoes, holding his shoes, and kind of walking and running through the grass.
They're just messing with people at this point.
I think it's like some new trend I've discovered.
Yeah, that's
two people makes a trend, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are just decided, hey, the weather's nice, I want to walk and run through the grass. Barefoot.
Hey, let's.
He didn't even have a shirt on though. Like, I couldn't figure that one out because I was like, "Where'd your shirt go?" Because I didn't see his shirt.
Hey, let's walk.
See his pants.
Let's walk around an urban area near our home office and just take off our pants and just start jogging. And let's just see if anyone else does it.
And take off your shoes where.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be like it's what everybody's going to be doing in a couple weeks. These two people are like on the forefront. They're the avant garde. Everyone's going to want to walk around. Pantless and shoeless.
We were walking there the other day during your lunch break together.
Yeah, you guys came. Well, you guys had a day off school. You came and went and walked to lunch with me. So you've seen that area.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that place that I went to?
So we went to, there's a place near where I work called Legacy Hall. Mm-hmm. And it's part of this, you know, this new development. And it's like a big building and it's got lots of different food stalls in it. So it's kind of like a really fancy food court, basically.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of food stalls that offer, like, one place has pizza, one place has burgers, one place has, like, you know, Chinese steamed buns. There's a Peruvian chicken place. Food. There's a taco place. There's a place that makes breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah,
it's kind of awesome.
It's kind of cool.
Pizza was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the burgers. It was really good.
That was fun. So, and then the big news is last night, the reason we put off doing this podcast until Friday night, like right before it's due, is last night we went and saw Avengers Endgame.
Yes, we did.
And we wanted to talk about it on the podcast. So I'm actually going to do two versions of the podcast. Okay, so if you're listening to this, this is the spoilerific. This is the, if you want to hear our impressions of the movie without using any spoilers at all, download the other podcast and listen to it. The only part that's different is this part where we're talking about our impressions of Avengers Endgame. And in this version, we will use spoilers. So you've been warned. If you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, stop the podcast now and go download the other podcast and listen to that. So what did you guys think of Avengers Endgame?
I loved it. It was amazing.
It was pretty awesome. Oh my gosh. So one thing that I loved about the movie, I really liked the opening scene with Hawkeye's family.
That was so great.
I kind of saw it coming, what was going to happen. But well, it was still kind of like really a good dramatic moment.
Yeah, it's basically like the mid-credits to Ant-Man and the Wasp, but without the science. So it was still really cool, though.
I liked it.
I like Tony and Nebula playing
table football.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit more about it. So I like the Hawkeye scene because not only is it kind of set the stage for the movie, but immediately you bring Hawkeye back into the story.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye plays a pretty big role in this movie. So it brings him in and it like establishes his motivation. Plus like the motivation of all the heroes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a little off just because they introduced him and then they didn't show him again until like an hour and a half later.
No, not that long. Not that long.
They didn't show him until like an hour later, but
yeah, it was a while, but it wasn't like that long. And then like the other thing I liked is it immediately like plays with your expectations. So you're expecting, all right, this is going to be this big build up to a battle with Thanos. And then like 10 minutes into the movie, Thanos is dead.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Which was really kind of cool. But then not only is he dead, but the Infinity Stones are destroyed. So you're like, all right, they're going to kill Thanos. They're going to get the Infinity Stone. That was their plan. We'll just go. We'll kill Thanos. We'll get the Infinity Stones. We'll reverse everything. But Thanos, and Thanos, by the way, I thought I really liked him in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I liked him in the last movie, in Infinity War. I thought he was an interesting character. But in this one, I just really thought, I mean, not that I liked him. He's still a villain. He's still a bad guy. But like, he was really cool.
Like, he was
like the
so
way
cool.
He sort of saw life was just so, like, Thanos has this vision, and he knows what he's about, and he knows what his destiny is.
Kind of inspirational.
And he just always acts like that.
Okay, when Thor, like,
he's still a jerk. He's still, like, a mass murderer. But yeah.
When Thor took Stormbreaker.
Kind of a cool character.
When Thor took Stormbreaker and just, like, chopped off its head, and everyone was like, what the heck, Thor? And just, like, I went for the head. That was so cool.
Yeah. But then you're like, well, and then 5 years later. So they're just living with this like failure for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you see like the effect of it on the world and how everything is just dismal. And
yeah.
Depressing.
And how Clark's playing Fortnite.
Oh yeah. I will
we'll get to that later. So, I really enjoyed, and then the way they made the plot. So then the new scheme is the time heist. And the cool thing about the time heist is it's sort of a way in this last, basically the last movie of the Infinity, what do they call it?
Infinity Saga.
It's almost a way to say, all right, how can we play the greatest hits from every movie up until then and incorporate it into the plot? And by having them go, you know, retrieve these Infinity Stones, suddenly you're flashing back to like, oh, this is a scene from Winter Soldier. This is a scene from, you know.
It was the Avengers.
There's one from the Avengers, one from Guardians of the Galaxy. Winter Soldier, there's one from Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like all different parts of the movie were just sort of incorporated.
I thought the one from the elevator was like right after Avengers, but right before Winter Soldier.
But it like incorporates a lot of elements of Winter Soldier, right?
Yeah.
So you've got like Robert Redford's character, the corrupt guy. You've got like all the, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who are really Hydra.
The part where he just, like, goes in the elevator, and you think he's just going to knock everyone out, but he just says, like, Hail Hydra.
And then he just gets away.
The Winter Soldier, he, like, does the same thing, and he destroys all the people in the elevator. So it's like that scene, except the expectation is he'll do it again, and then he's like, nope, I don't have to. I'll just say, Hail Hydra, and I'll walk off in a briefcase.
Yeah, because they just let him take it once he said that.
So I thought that plot was just really well done. So you know, in one sense, it was almost like a clip show, you know?
Yeah, I really like
a TV show, but on the in another sense, it was like really important to the plot too.
Hulk walking down the stairs had nothing to do with anything, yeah. But it was hilarious.
There were a lot of funny moments in the movie. So some of my favorite funny moments, I don't know why this makes me laugh, but well, Thor was ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Because Thor, after he chops off Thanos' head, you know, he just drinks beer and gets fat and is kind of a loser.
Him. You know? Okay. Yeah. Him, Korg, and Mick were playing Fortnite and it was hilarious.
Having Korg in the movie was like some seriously good fan service, because Korg is like this big rock creature and he's voiced by Taika Waititi, who's the director of Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, also the greatest director of all time.
And, you know, he's just one of those characters, like, he's not super important to the plot, but the fans yeah. love him. And to have him just sitting there playing Fortnite with some kid, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of pop culture references like that.
Tons
like
of when, pop culture references.
When Professor Hulk, like, dabs at a kid. Yeah. Okay, that I liked because...
That was also funny.
That I liked because I hate it when in movies, characters just, like, dab or floss and has nothing to do with anything. But in this, he was actually, like, appealing to the kids, so it actually worked.
In most of the movie, except for the, you know, the time travel flashbacks, Bruce Banner is like, I call him Hulk Banner. I guess you could call him Professor Hulk. It's like sort of this midway between full on Hulk and Bruce Banner. And he like wears glasses and he kind of looks like Bruce Banner, but he's also like, you know, about 1.5 green. Times the size of a normal person.
Yeah, it's and so goofy and comic booky, but yeah. I really like it.
But he can still like talk and communicate and be like smart like Bruce Banner. Mm-hmm. That worked surprisingly well.
Yeah.
It was funny, but it also kind of worked well. Like, He could interact with the other characters without it seeming too weird and bizarre.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw it on screen, I was like, whoa, what the heck? But then it actually worked really well.
Yeah. What else? The Nebula was a surprisingly main character. She was almost the main character of the whole movie. Like, she had as much screen time as Iron Man or Captain America, I think.
I really like the scenes where, like, characters would fight themselves. Like, Nebula fighting Nebula, or Captain America fighting Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain America fighting Captain America was really cool.
Yeah, it was like...
I liked the version of time travel that they had in this movie. It was different from the way most movies handle time travel.
Yeah, because in this, like, when they affected their past, it created, like, a separate branch.
Yeah, so this is like, this appeals to me because time travel movies always kind of drive me a little bit crazy. So I don't know if you guys have seen Back to the Future, but the idea with Back to the Future is if they mess up something, it'll destroy the present. So Marty McFly goes back to the future and he ends up meeting his mother and he has to make sure that his mother and his dad get together or else like he and his siblings will disappear. Right?
Yeah.
So that's sort of like the or like in the Terminator, where it's like, you know, the Terminator comes to kill this boy who's going to lead the rebellion against the robots, and he has to be stopped or else, you know, in the future it will affect. It's always like you're always assuming like time is linear and changing one thing will change the future or the past. But the way that this one works, I really kind of like it. It's like your present will always be the same because your past is always, it's already happened. But if you go back and change something in the past, that will create new timelines. So it's like a multiverse version.
Yeah.
So while your present's going to stay the same, it'll create these alternate universes where those timelines may be messed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a cool way to think about it.
And I like how they incorporated the ancient one into that. How, like,
she explains it, and there's, like, the visual.
And she actually knew what was going on, which was really satisfying.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah.
And then they actually acknowledged that, like, there was no other way, a thing from Doctor Strange, Infinity War.
You know, I'm sure this sounds totally confusing to someone who hasn't seen the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're listening to this version of the podcast.
Yeah,
if you have seen the movie, hopefully you're keeping up. There were a few moments, like some of the moments that caused people to start applauding, where I actually wanted to like applaud. One of the best ones was
where Captain America got Thor's hammer.
Yes,
that was so cool.
That was amazing. Oh my god,
is like worthy to wield Thor's hammer. That was like an awesome.
Except,
moment.
In my opinion, no other moment in any of the MCU movies or any movie that I've seen, honestly, beats the moment where all those portals like open up.
That was the other one that made everyone want to cheer. Is like suddenly you see all these portals opening up, and the previously vanished superheroes just show up.
It was
and everyone's
so
like,
cool.
That was
yes!
so cool.
Yes.
These are parts where like, there are parts where I actually like laughed just because of how, for lack of a better word, epic it was.
Yeah.
It was, there were some so cool moments.
At the same
moments.
Time, you were like, this is so cool, I don't even care. Like,
yeah. Or no, I laughed out of how cool it was.
Yeah.
Like the scene where like all the superheroes showed up and they just had this big third act battle.
So,
oh my gosh.
This is a little bit of a minor quibble. The major battle. On the one hand, it was really, really cool. The one thing that bothered me a little bit about it is, so right before, you know, when they come back from time travel and they're in like the Avengers HQ, right? And that building looks like that building exists on the Earth, right? It's like a very realistic place.
Yeah.
But then when Thanos appears and he like destroys it all, suddenly I felt like now we're on a soundstage and there's a lot of green screen and a lot of CGI.
Okay, that was all really well done.
It was all really well done, but suddenly you didn't feel like you were on the Earth anymore. And I feel like the movie visuals have gotten really, really good, but they're still not quite good enough to make you believe that it's a realistic place.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think a superhero movie doesn't necessarily matter too much. Like, if the movie's like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I still enjoyed it, but like, I kind of wish that it seemed more like a realistic, like it was being fought on Earth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I did kind of forget that it was on Earth a couple times. I feel like there's a lot of like... There's a lot of like nitpicky things that are surrounded by like awesomeness that make it so that you don't really care about the nitpick.
Yeah, and okay, here's another really amazing part that I liked. Like when Thanos was like saying, "I am inevitable," and he snaps his gauntlet, and then nothing happens, and he looks, and there's no Infinity Stones, and then
Iron Man says, "I am Iron Man."
Well,
it's like chills.
And there were people in the movie theater that were crying.
Yeah, they were sobbing.
When Tony meets his demise. I didn't cry.
Neither did I, but I found it really sad.
It was moving. It was sad, but
I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't like tearing up. I was almost tearing up.
It wasn't like Coco level sad, but
yeah,
it was.
And how like Happy had Tony's daughter and said like, and her daughter wanted a cheeseburger, and he said like, "I'll give you 1,000 cheeseburgers."
Yeah,
I liked how. I actually really liked seeing Tony Stark as a parent. That was really cool.
It was pretty cool,
and it had a good payoff.
You know, I really liked the first part of the movie that really kind of sucked me in, like on an emotional level, was when Scott Lang. Is like he's like running through this area that has like all of the monuments to the vanished, and he's looking for his daughter's name. He's like, "Please, please let her still be alive." He's looking for her name, and then he sees his name. He's like, "What the?"
Yeah, that was cool. Like,
but I didn't vanish. And then it occurs to him like his daughter's alive and thinks that he's dead, and he runs to the house. And when he sees her, like that moment when she sees him, I just found that really like. It sort of took me by surprise, like, how emotional I found that.
Yeah, and you think that it's going to be Hope, but then
because
it's like...
there was such a good relationship between him and his daughter in the last movie.
Yeah.
And it just really kind of brought it back.
Also...
Even if... I know there's, like, a handful of audiences that didn't like Ant-Man and the Wasp, but it still has a great payoff in this. I really liked Ant-Man and the Wasp, so... But it has a great payoff in this movie.
Well, and actually, like, if you skipped Ant-Man and the Wasp, there were... Ant-Man and the Wasp's plot had a lot to do with this movie. So, you know, it was better if you had watched that because there was a lot of stuff that was called.
Okay, so Ghost was on their side and supposedly she might have evaporated, but we don't know. And then she didn't even reappear in this one.
Well, it didn't show any reoccurred villains except for the ones from Winter Soldier.
So at the very end of the movie, there was no post-credit scene.
But I love...
And so we stayed in the movie, and I would say like 80 to 90% of the people stayed in the movie theater. Few people left, waiting to see if there would be a post-credit scene, but there was not.
At the end, there was like a banging noise, though.
Yes, yeah, so there was a sound. It sounded like metal being like forged. It was like a clank, clank, clank.
But the thing is, that's so vague and inspecific that like...
Do you have a theory? I've heard two theories. Well, I've heard one theory, and I have my own guess. I think my guess is probably wrong, but I like it anyway. Do you have any theories?
Something like of extreme power being forced, like an infinity gauntlet.
I feel
something.
Like it's such a vague and specific sound that, like, can it even mean anything later?
Well, one theory that I've heard, and this does make a little bit of sense to me, is it's a callback to the sound of Tony Stark in a cave building his first Iron Man suit.
Whoa.
Oh!
But...
So that's one theory. My other theory is that it is the sound of Valkyrie's weapon being forged.
Ooh, I like both
those
theories.
She's going to be like the new, queen of Asgard.
Yeah. What
the first theory probably makes more sense, but it's so weird and obscure because they don't explain it all. It's just this clunk. Clank, clank.
But what I feel more passionate about is not only did they do credits that showed like all the different characters, when they showed like the signatures of the actors for the main six Avengers, and it was like, holy crap, this like is the end game.
And I think my take on that is all of those actors who had like their autographs, their signatures, this is their last Marvel movie.
Yeah, before I saw it, I was like, ooh, well, maybe they'll get appearances in later movies. But now it's like, I don't want them to show up in any other Marvel movies because that's such a good farewell.
Except I kind of want a Hawkeye movie.
Well, this kind of was. I think this was as close as you're going to get to a Hawkeye movie. That was my other quibble with the movie. And I hate to do this, but I don't know that I loved... It's not that I didn't like Hawkeye. I thought Hawkeye was pretty cool. I didn't really love Jeremy Renner's performance.
I
feel a little bad saying that, but I feel like he was a little bit miscast for Hawkeye in this movie.
I never really noticed him being miscast, but I've always loved Hawkeye, so I guess it's been working for me. I just wish he had slightly more to do.
It's a strange character because he doesn't have any superpowers. He's just like... cool archer guy.
Yeah.
I did like how I had a lot to do in this one.
He did. I did enjoy the scene with Black Widow and Hawkeye when they're trying to get the Soul Stone, because that was, you know, from previous movies that Black Widow and Hawkeye had a really close relationship. So it played off that, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, and at first I thought they were fighting each other for like pushing each other off because Hawkeye was actually evil, but then I was like, wait, no, they're fighting each other. Over, like, killing themselves.
Who would be the one to sacrifice themselves?
And it's like, whoa, that is awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
I actually kind of liked him in Japan as Ronin.
Yeah.
I know that was, like, really cheesy and comic booky, but I liked it.
Do you know what Ronin means in Japanese?
What does it mean?
A Ronin is, it's a leaderless samurai. So samurais for a warlord. So a samurai would always be, like, sworn... to work for a particular warlord, a daimyo. And when a daimyo dies, the samurai has to go find another master. So it's like a masterless samurai. It's called a ronin.
Oh, that's really cool.
So it's kind of cool, yeah.
So if I had to name my biggest issue, though, it would probably be like the middle section kind of drags a bit. Like I really, really, really like the third act, and I love the first 20 minutes of it. For the middle section, while still good.
A little bit, because they're doing a lot of kind of, you know, showing the impacts of all this on the characters. It's not so much the drags as there's not nearly as much action in that section that you would expect from a superhero movie.
Yeah, and it's still good.
And all of it gets, like, you can just sweep that under the rug because of the third act.
It's just kind of like, but can I get to the time traveling yet?
Yeah.
This is a really, really, really big nitpick, but I do think it's kind of weird seeing Thanos in a t-shirt with like a barrel of fruit. Something's just off about that.
It was kind of cool though, in a way, like to see him there and he's not even bothering to try to defend himself.
Yeah, it was a cool scene anyways. So he's like, yeah, you can kill me. I mean, I did what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And then he saw that he had died later and he was like, oh, that's destiny.
A couple other cool parts. when Captain Marvel shows up to rescue Tony Stark.
That yeah, was I was about awesome. To mention that. Yeah, I actually like Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel like didn't appear too much, so that she wasn't just overpowered throughout the movie. But she did like show up for the third act, which mm-hmm. was cool.
Yeah, I mean, then I think that third act battle might have been better than the Battle of Wakanda, which I actually really yeah. liked.
Do you remember? I think it was in Age of Ultron. I think it was Age of Ultron. Now I'm not even 100% sure. There was a moment where the Scarlet Witch causes Tony to have this
Age of Ultron.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
And he sees like Captain America with his shield broken. I thought that
and other Avengers.
The battle was like a callback to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was supposed to foreshadow the battle.
The only plot hole is Tony Stark says like you could have stopped it.
No, Captain America says that.
Which I guess kind of ties to the Battle of Titan. I think the actors actually said that Vision is completely up to interpretation.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool how they sort of allude to it. It's not necessarily, like, literally that, but it sort of reminds you of that.
But yeah, I think it's safe to say that battle was the best in the MCU.
Yeah.
One thing I really enjoyed about the movie as a whole is that the disappeared, the vanished heroes only show up at the end. So you've got a lot of time with like these main characters who it's kind of like their last stand. So you can really spend a lot of time with the original Avengers, you know?
And I expected them coming back to be like shocking, but it was more like you were waiting for them to come back and that was the payoff.
Yeah.
Which was so cool.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. So that is our spoiler filled, recap of Avengers Endgame.
I'm going to give Endgame a 9 out of 10.
Or a 10 out of 10?
I am also going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Or an A.
Pretty darn good movie.
A plus for me.
I don't have a problem calling it a 10 out of 10, but, you know.
It has some middle section issues.
Yeah. Really good movie. Interesting the way they pulled it all off.
It was so good.
We're
going to
talk a little bit more about it, but we'll do it without spoilers when we do our MCU rankings. Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a story about a mom posted a story on Twitter that made the news. Her children had come to her and said, "Mom, there's a creature in our room."
It's these stories.
"Mom, there's a creature in our room." And she was like, "Okay, whatever. No, like when you turn off the lights, we can see this creature moving around in our room."
Oh my gosh.
"All right, I'll look for it." Then she came into the room, turned on the lights, didn't see anything. She's like, "Nope, there's no creature." Next night, "Mom, there's a creature in our room." I went in and looked, didn't find a creature. Said, "No, it's fine. Just go to bed. There's no creature."
I don't like this.
Third night, "Mom, there's a creature in the room." Finally, they go in and they found the creature. It was a possum. A possum was living in their kid's room.
You know, right after this podcast, we're going to be going to bed.
There's a picture of the possum. I don't have it with me, but I'll post it to Instagram and Twitter. It looks really funny because the possum is like inside this like plastic container and its face looks all weird. And I guess it was just like living back behind like where the toys were, and it would kind of go back and forth. And because possums are nocturnal, it would mostly be active at night, but it was just hanging out in these kids' room, and the parents would not believe them that there was a creature. A possum was living. So finally they managed to catch the possum. They put it in a plastic container. They put a pitchfork over it, and then they put a cookie sheet over it. And they, like, released it in the yard. And apparently the possum hung out in the yard for a while. It didn't, like, immediately go away.
They just stand in places for, like, nights in a row.
Yeah.
It sounds like the setup of that sounds like a comic strip. Like, "Mom, there's a creature in your room." "No, there isn't. No, there isn't. No, there isn't. Oh, there is." Like, that's like a comic strip from a newspaper.
Caitlin Birch was the woman's name. And this was, where did this take place? This was in Ohio. So she posted this story to Twitter. And it kind of blew up, and it got in the news. Mom shocked to find daughters weren't lying about creature in the closet. A possum was living in her children's bedroom for 3 days before she realized there really was a creature stirring in the closet.
Oh, that's creepy. I mean, I wasn't...
just imaginary friend or a stuffed animal.
I wasn't really planning on sleeping tonight anyways, so it's all good.
There's no creature in your closet. Just go to bed. Just go to sleep.
Oh, it's just an opossum. An evil opossum.
That's like satisfyingly creepy, though.
It is. It's a funny story. And it has a happy ending. Do you want to share one of your stories?
Mine's about seeing Captain Marvel a lot.
Oh, I heard about this.
You know, we were just talking about some Marvel movies.
Yeah. It says, man sees Captain Marvel 116 times to break the Guinness World Record.
116 times to watch the same movie? I don't care what movie it is. I think I get bored after about 50.
It actually does reveal some weird details that they found. Like, they figured out that a certain scene was shot on Tuesday, June 13th, because it says, so there's one particular scene in the movie where in the background there's a calendar, and it says June of 1995. And then later on that particular day, there's a full moon. So at the end, I just Googled when there was a full moon in June of 1995. And it came out to be Tuesday, June 13th of 1995, he said.
That's kind of crazy.
Oh, wow.
So
I guess if you watch a movie 116 times, you're going to become really obsessed with all the details in the movie.
Yep. And, yeah, it sounded like he was pretty bored.
How many minutes did they say that was to watch it 116 times?
12,268.
I wonder if he's one of the guys.
12,000 minutes watching the same movie.
He's probably, like, the type of person to do, like, 40-minute Easter egg videos. They'll say, like, look, this person breathes, which is a callback to the first Iron Man movie where Tony Stark breathes in the same room.
Does he say what his motivation was? Was it just so he could break the world record?
It says he thought it was the most... It says, I thought it was the most insane thing ever. I thought it was impossible. I wasn't even sure why it was even a record, but I thought after a while I should probably do that.
So, did he have to buy a movie ticket for every single time he watched the movie, or did he have a deal with the theater?
I don't know.
I think I'd be like, dude, I'm going to try and break the world record. After I buy this ticket like 25 times, can I just watch it for free after that? You know, I'd try to work some deal with the movie theater. If he did have to buy a ticket every single time,
that'd be a lot of money.
Let's say it was even like $10 tickets, which is not that unreasonable these days for
that's
a movie.
That's still 1,000.
That's $1,000.
40. 1,000.
You know, okay.
Wait, no.
So,
sorry, $1,160.
$1,160 on just watching the same movie over and over.
My problem with this is like, so I really like Captain Marvel. It's like an 8 out of 10 for me. But why did they choose Captain Marvel to see 100-something times?
Because it was in theaters at the time, and I guess they liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know how I feel about that.
What else did he do in his life? Like, seriously.
He should have chosen a shorter movie. At least it wasn't Endgame.
Is this why it got...
Is he unemployed?
I don't know.
Is this why it got...
Obviously,
like,
he's got some free time.
Is this why it got over $1 billion?
So even if he must have had to watch it like multiple times in a day too, otherwise it'd take him
116
days.
Oh yeah, this is why Captain Marvel did so well at the box office.
Although
mainly him, yeah.
I think all superhero movies earn $1 billion now. That's just their thing, just to earn $1 billion.
Marvel movies do. Not all superhero movies, but I think Marvel.
Aquaman.
Movies.
Aquaman got $1 billion.
Yeah, but anyway,
there's still some superhero movies that come out and disappoint.
Here's another quote: to be official, I have to have certain pictures taken, like in front of a movie poster. And I need to have two written witness statements saying that I was actually there, he said. So I'm trying to think. If anyone wanted to break this, I really don't want to re-break it. Because this has been pretty tough.
That seems like a lot of work.
It's been a finite amount of time, but I don't think I'm going to try this one again. That's the reason why he beat the record by 12.
It does seem like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Will, you want to share your story?
All right. Massachusetts 10-year-olds aim to save lives with 3D crosswalks. I don't know if anyone has ever seen those pictures of, like, little 3D illusions on roads or whatever. But this person, it says, a pair of Massachusetts 10-year-olds are hoping to save lives with a crosswalk they designed to capture the attention of drivers with a 3D illusion.
We have a picture, which I will also tweet out and put on Instagram.
Can I see?
Show Henry the picture.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a cool picture.
I actually didn't see it at first, but I thought I would... There's pictures of, like... these giant, like, ravines, these, like, giant pits that, like, ascend into heck.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Like, people do, like, sidewalk sidewalk art.
Yeah.
It looks like it's 3D.
Yeah, this one looks like it's blocks.
Those are like cool. Chunks of ice and water.
It does. So it looks like the little stripes on the crosswalk, they look like they're raised.
I think it's really impressive.
They're like 3D. They're like kind of like,
yeah,
like rectangular.
I think it's really impressive that 10-year-olds did that. But it says a crosswalk makes it appear to drivers as though the white lines are elevated from the ground. And let's see. So someone
instead
said,
of just blowing over the crosswalk, it makes it look like, oh, I better drive carefully over this or else it'll wreck my tires or something.
It says the kids, like the 10-year-olds, took their idea to the Center for Citizenship and Social Responsibility. And local artist Nate Swain basically put it into action.
Oh.
And it says that someone said, I love it. It looks amazing. Exactly how I pictured it and more. This was the 10-year-old. And it says, when you're walking across, you can tell it's painted. But what we hope is when you're driving down, you'll see it as 3D, three-dimensional. So it looks real.
That's pretty cool. It's not a totally unique idea because they had done this in Europe. A couple of countries in Europe have done this before. But it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. I do kind of think that, like, it seems like that would work better, like, on a picture in 2D than in 3D. Like, have you seen those videos of, like, someone who, like, have a Rubik's Cube and they'll turn it to show it was actually just on paper?
Yeah.
And it was, like, all, like, stretched out. But that only works, cool. Like,
I think if 2D. I was driving down this road, it would definitely make me look twice. I'd be like, wait. Is that, like, you know, am I going to run into that?
I just think, like, there's a lot of people who manipulate this and videos because videos are 2D and it doesn't really work in real life.
Yeah, or like magicians, you know, when they're doing an illusion, it depends on like the audience being in a particular perspective.
Or like that, have you seen those videos where it only works in 2D, but like there's this dinosaur and it looks like the head's following you because of the way it's folded?
So one place I want to go when we go to Japan is in on Odaiba in Tokyo, which is like this island we'll visit in Tokyo. There's a place called the Trick Art Museum.
Ooh.
And it's like all these different trick art things where you can take a picture of yourself inside like the illusion.
That sounds really cool.
Fun, right?
Yeah, when I was little, I used to just look up like pictures of optical illusions and just scroll through all of them.
So there's like a whole museum of like trick art that you can like pose yourself in and take pictures of.
That sounds awesome. I think it's one time when I was at someone's like technology home office. It was like super cool design. There was this one like trick art on the ground of like a giant pit, and it had these like little binoculars where like if you stared through them, then you'd be at the right angle to see it work.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. One last news story. Speaking of vacations, there is now a company in Nebraska that is offering a special service for people. For just $20, you can make people think you're on vacation on social media.
That is great.
The company called Fake a Vacation offers packages starting at $19.99 for a service to superimpose the photos on social media of you in a vacation destination.
I mean, so now I guess, like, if you're a celebrity and don't want people following you around all the time?
Well, I think the idea is more like, I want my friends to think that I'm really cool and go on cool vacations.
So now you can pay to be a fake flexer.
So they'll show like picture of you and your family like in Las Vegas or in like Paris, France. And they also include some facts about each destination to help customers concoct the story of their fake vacation.
See, people do this on Instagram all the time where they'll like say that they like got a new home or like they got a new beach home and on vacation or whatever. It's just so they can like flex their riches.
The article says the company cited a study that suggests more than half of all millennials have lied about taking vacations. For reasons ranging from last-minute cancellations to the high price of travel to the desire for social media recognition.
Yeah, it's just a flex. But there was this one person who was known for like flexing like way too much, and they found this one picture that was literally just like, if you search up like rich home, then that picture comes up as stock footage, and they just used that as their image.
So this is, they're basically, their whole business model is built on helping people lie and commit fraud. What do you think about that?
Wonder how legal that is.
I think it was fine when people were already doing it. Like, that was just annoying and sometimes just trolling. But now that they're actually making money off of it and making a business, I don't know. I think that's kind of sketchy.
I don't think it's illegal because, you know, they're not committing a fraud themselves. They're being very upfront about the fact that what they're selling is a fake vacation. They are kind of assisting other people to do something that's a little bit sketchy. I don't know. I mean, it kind of comes back to the whole thing about how, like, on social media, people are not totally honest anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously you're going to show, like, when you're doing things you enjoy or, like, happy things. Or, like, you're not going to most – unless you're doing it as a joke, you're not going to show, like, a totally ugly picture of yourself. Like, if you take five pictures, you're going to – you're going to pick the one that looks the best of you and put it on social media, right?
Yeah. I don't use that much social media just because I feel like it's way too easy, like, this way. I feel like it's way too easy this way for life to just become, like, a video game and just, like, a competition to see how much numbers you can get off of the things you do in life. I know not everyone, like, goes that way, but I feel like it'd be too easy for me.
But I do think that, you know, you should try not to just blatantly lie, like tell people you want a vacation you didn't go on.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's like a bad pattern. Like if you're going to lie about like little things, pretty soon you're going to be lying about a lot of things and then people just won't trust you.
Yeah.
And then you'll get
like... Have you ever known anyone that like lies about stuff that doesn't matter?
Not really.
I mean,
one day you will. Like you'll meet someone and you'll be like, yeah. And you'll just realize this person just lies a lot. Like,
yeah.
Like, for no reason, they lie. Because there are just some people like that. They just get so used to lying that, like, I knew this one guy who used to tell people that, like, he lives in this really big house and they're, like, 10 floors underground. And that his dad is, like, a CEO of some big company. And, like, and everyone kind of knew that what he was saying wasn't true.
And then you would just say house.
Well, I love it when, like...
You wouldn't even... You'd be like... No, you don't. But you wouldn't even bother to say that because you were like, everyone just kind of knows that.
I love it when like people like realize that the person is lying and they know that they realize that they're lying. So they just try to make it as ridiculous as possible. I remember in like 7th grade, I was in tennis and there's like another kid saying like, oh yeah, I'm in tennis too. And I was like, wait, but I'm in like the only 7th grade tennis period. So where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm in the other tennis court. And he said there's like a secret underground tennis court. And then he said that, like, you just go in there and Serena Williams greets you, and you just, like, get these golden tennis rackets and start playing. At that point, he's basically just trying to tick off people.
Yeah.
I kind of find it funny when, like, you catch them for lying, and it's, like, oh, I'm in this class. Well, I'm in the only version of this class. And they're, like, and they just, like, try their hardest to make it seem like they're actually right.
Yeah, when people say, like, oh, yeah, I'm in that class, and they're really not.
And
yeah.
Then you tell them that and give, like, super,
like, I mean, usually they just get, like, way too defensive. You try
and
to
then
call them
they're
out
like, and, oh, well, I'm in the other okay, non-existent yeah. class.
It's just a lot easier to tell the truth sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to keep track of, like, all the lies you've told.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, like, worry about, am I going to get caught? Am I going to get caught?
Yeah.
And what do people think of me if I get caught?
Well, just so, because, like...
For that reason, I don't think you should use the fake vacation service.
Yeah, if you lie about that kind of thing, you have to keep on making it more and more lies. And it's just, like, you just get more and more uncomfortable as it goes on.
Yeah. So that's the news. We want to do one thing. I know we've talked about Marvel a lot on this podcast already, but because it is the topic of the day, we wanted to update our rankings. We're only going to do our top 10. So including Avengers Endgame, there so far have been 22 Marvel movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you include the original Incredible Hulk movie from 2008. We have all selected our top 10 movies and we're going to review them starting with 10. I will go first.
Number 10.
My top 10... This was actually really hard. Like when I started to think about it, like there's a few movies that are easy to for me to eliminate. Like I wouldn't consider them in my top 10, but it doesn't take too long before you're like, wait, there's a lot of movies that I might consider for top 10. So it was actually hard to eliminate movies.
Yeah, I kept a ranking going all this time. So I just like
so add it was ones. Easy for you.
Yeah, I just add ones as I go.
But here was my number 10. My number 10 was Captain America: The First Avenger.
Ooh, I don't remember that movie enough to rank it.
I like that movie a lot. A lot of people didn't like that movie, which surprised me because I thought it was a really good movie. It was a really good kind of first entry for the Captain America. Part of it is I really love Captain America, his character. I love Steve Rogers' character. It's one of my favorite characters in the whole universe. And for that reason, Captain America, the First Avenger. Plus, I thought it had a really cool kind of retro look to it because it took place in the 40s. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I liked Captain America, the First Avenger. That is my number 10.
From what I remember from the first underrated. Two Captain America movies and from seeing Civil War like three times, the Captain America trilogy is like the most solid trilogy in the MCU, in my opinion.
Perhaps. Henry, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is Ant-Man, which is hard for me to narrow this down to, but I think that Ant-Man was just
the original
really
Ant-Man from 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this one was just a really solid movie. Like, not one of the best, not like the best or anything, but like.
It's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
That one almost made it for me. See, Ant-Man is kind of what got me into the MCU. Like, I had seen the Avengers and I'd seen the first Avenger before, like when they came out. But, it, like, when I saw Ant-Man, I was like, man, that was really good. I'm starting to be a little interested in this MCU.
What was your number 10?
Mine was Doctor Strange. It, like, just barely beat Ant-Man. I really enjoyed Doctor Strange. I don't think it's amazing. I feel like I may be slightly biased on this because I saw this one on my 13th birthday when it came out. And so I think I just associate good memories with it.
Yeah.
But it had really good visuals. I liked all the performances. I just liked the, like, feel of it.
For me, it was between Doctor Strange and Ant-Man 2, and I think that Ant-Man might be slightly better.
I think it was just really satisfying finally seeing, like, these, like, monk ninja sorcerers in the MCU for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, that is really cool. I mean, it still had, like, major issues with, like, being a bit too on the nose about, like, not everything is about you. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Okay. Why are my hands shaking? You can make your hands not shake. Oh, okay. Like, that was a little bit too on the nose, but I definitely liked Doctor Strange.
All right. Next. Number 9. My number 9 was Ant-Man. So, the same as your number 10, Henry. And I know, William, you mentioned that it was close.
Yeah, it's like number 11.
Didn't quite make the cut. Henry, what was your number 9?
My number 9... Wait, I thought you were going to review it.
Well, we kind of already talked about it. Like, I think it's a really good movie. It's a fun movie. It's kind of a heist movie. It's a little bit different from your typical superhero saving the world. It was more like, you know, using your superheroes to do good things, but also do it as kind of like this heist.
I think the Ant-Man movies are best if you don't think of them as these big superhero blockbusters, you're going to be disappointed, but just as these palate cleansers.
They're really fun. I really like kind of the interaction of the characters.
Yeah.
Because of Ant-Man's unique, his unique ability, I think it causes the action sequences are really creative. Yeah.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Henry, what was your number 9?
My number 9 was Captain America Civil War, which I do think that this one was extremely good, but I think like it got a bit boring in the first and maybe even second act, and I think the politics didn't make sense, and it...
I will say, I'll discuss my opinion on Civil War later. It did take me 3 watches to finally like get a solid opinion on it.
It took me 3 watches to understand what they were saying.
Yeah, I'll get to that later.
Yeah, overall pretty good.
My number 9 might be a little bit controversial, but it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I know a lot of people didn't like this movie. I actually really liked it. I think I may appreciate it more than enjoy it slightly, because I know there's a lot of like really like subtle themes going on with the character arcs. And like, but beyond that, it also has like really great visuals, really good soundtrack, some decent humor. I think where I went wrong was just, like, the plot kind of felt like it was going nowhere at a couple times. But I still thought this was a really good one.
Next. Number 8. So my number 8 was Captain Marvel.
Oh, that was my number 8.
I really enjoyed Captain Marvel. I thought it was a really solid entry. I like the character of Carol Danvers. I like the way they handle kind of her origin story. I just thought it was really fun. I thought it was a nice place to have her enter the story in terms of being like, she's, you know, obviously a character that was important for the now, but also, you know, a character that will kind of carry it into the next part of the MCU.
I also really like the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack reminded me of like a Phase 1 or Phase 2 Marvel movie, which I really appreciate that they're kind of going back.
A lot of throwback 90s rock music is what it was.
Yeah, but the movie in general felt like a Phase 1 or 2 Marvel movie, which I really like these Marvel movies becoming more and more like diverse and different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was kind of a nice like reminder of like, hey, we still do this stuff.
I also really like Goose. I like the character of Goose, the cat.
Yeah.
That was like the most like surprising scene in the movie. Like, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Henry, what was your number 8?
Ant-Man the Wasp. Which I I was kind of surprised that I actually put this low, but I think it was a pretty solid movie. Like, after Infinity War, I just wanted something, like, super fun and, like, fast-paced and...
I think it's the definition of, like, a fun time.
Yeah.
That movie.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So, yeah, my number 8 is also Captain Marvel. I mean, you said just about it. I really like the wackiness, the Skrulls, and I always love Samuel Jackson. That's about it. Like I said about all about that. All
right, next is... Number 7. My number 7 is Ant-Man and the Wasp. So, repeating each other a lot. The thing I really loved about Ant-Man and the Wasp was like I thought it had some of the most creative action scenes in any of the movies. Because of the way... So Ant-Man already has this kind of crazy superpower, but then you add the Wasp in, and she can shrink, but she can also fly.
And
the
lasers.
Way they use that in the movie was just incredibly creative. I really like the interaction between... between Scott Lang and I don't remember the name of the Wasp.
Old guy.
Evangeline Lilly's character. The way they interact, I thought that was really great.
No, that's Hope.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that everyone likes the villain. I really liked Ghost, though. She just looked cool. And her powers are cool.
It's a good movie.
It's cool how they didn't like have to kill a ghost or something. Like, she survived.
It feels like a comic book, which I really like.
It was really good. And... there was a lot of important setup for Endgame, which was cool that they did that in a movie that otherwise people might have overlooked.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good movie. I thought it made it into my top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry, what was your number 7?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh.
Even higher than Will's. And yeah, once again, I know a lot of people didn't like this, but I think it was just pretty good. Like, the plot wasn't very good, but the writing and the depth to the characters was amazing.
I can't really fight you on that, just because I think everyone has, like, the same thoughts on it. It's just for some people, there's some stuff that works better than
it's
other people.
It's not my favorite. In fact, I would say it's one of my least favorite. But
I think with that movie, it's like, everyone has the same thoughts on it, but there's just certain things that are way better to some people than other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. William, what was your number 7?
It was Spider-Man Homecoming. I did not, like, absolutely adore Spider-Man Homecoming, but I still really like it. I still really appreciate some of the stuff that they did. I like all the side characters, like Ned, I like how it feels like high school. And I love the villain and what they do with the villain, of course. The action and visuals were kind of bland for a Marvel movie. Not super surprising coming out of Sony, but it's just a really fun, summer movie.
All right, next is... Number 6. My number 6 was Thor Ragnarok.
Oh.
And I know you guys think it's one of the very best movies. I liked it. I'll say this. Number 6 best movie in the MCU still means it's really, really good because there's just a lot of really good MCU movies.
Yeah.
So Thor Ragnarok, it's kind of a comedy. It's more like funny than it is anything else. It's got some good action sequences. It's got a lot of crazy stuff going on.
It's crazy.
It's good. I liked it. Thor Ragnarok is my number 6. What's your number 6, Henry?
My number 6 is Captain Marvel, and I know we're repeating each other a lot, but, I just thought like had a lot of jokes is pretty funny. And I just really liked the characters and stuff. It was pretty great.
All right. Number 6 is Ant-Man the Wasp. I guess I can't believe we didn't predict this would happen, where he'd mention things like 5 different times. But
I think part of the thing is we saw all these movies together. And so I think
we shared
influenced each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus, I think there's a little bit of a bias toward more recent movies. Because you remember them better.
And also
I'll just say a couple things I didn't say before. The comedy was hilarious. Like, this movie had some of the best comedy out of the MCU. I think if I had to name an issue with it, it would be that the third act battle is a bit too long and kind of goes on for a bit too while. But other than that, like, this movie was like a blast.
All right. Number 5. Number five. My number five was Captain America Civil War. I actually really love Captain America Civil War. I like it better than either one of you do. I just thought it was a really good movie. It was a really good...
It was pretty good, but there are better movies.
It was a really good movie to kind of tie together a lot of the characters. I thought it was very interesting to have factions among the heroes and both sides believing that they were right, and the conflict between them I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, you're number five.
Spider-Man Homecoming. This one was really good. I really liked it. I completely disagree that the fight or that the action and visuals were bland. Even though the background was bland, like, I still think that they did cool stuff with the visuals, like with all the shots and stuff and how they shot it with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the writing and plot were really good and the acting was on point.
Yeah, acting is great. The writing is really good.
And the action sequences were still pretty good.
So, Dad, my five actually is Civil War.
Well, we agree about that, then.
Yeah, it has some amazing character moments. Like, with, like, I love Winter Soldier, I love Falcon, I love Captain America, I love Iron Man, I love Black Panther, I love Spider-Man, there's just so... Hawkeye, I just love so many characters in that movie. And the airport battle is just iconic. Yep, the airport battle and the battle between Iron Man, Captain America... and the Winter Soldier in the finale.
Spider-Man.
Well, no, at the very end. Oh, okay. Like, Winter Soldier and Captain America fighting Iron Man, and he's just, like, throwing around his shield, and it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
That's
There's really a cool lot part. That I love about this movie.
All right. Next, number four. Number four. My number four was Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good reboot of the Peter Parker character. Mm-hmm. You believe that he's an actual teenager. I like that he's a teenager doing high school things, hanging out with his friends, but he also has a superpower. And I like the kind of the mentor relationship with Iron Man and Spider-Man, which of course pays off later on in the other movies. Really good movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the story arc of the villain. And the plot twist, I thought that was really well executed.
I think out of any Spider-Man movie...
It's a good movie.
I think out of any Spider-Man movie, except for, like, I guess, Into the Spider-Verse, this was the best at appealing to teens. Like, in The Amazing Spider-Man, like, Andrew Garfield, like, listens to Coldplay and rides a skateboard. Or, like, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man gets, like, beat up by bullies. But this one, like, felt like teenagers.
Yeah. Henry, what's your number four?
My number four is Black Panther. Now, I know a lot of people think this is probably the best, but I still do have some minor issues with it. Like I didn't think that the CIA guy was very well written. And also the CGI kind of messed up at some parts. And I feel like not all characters had, like, arcs at all. Like, or their arcs were just, like, oh, I'm going to kill you. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
That being said.
But yeah, it was still pretty good. Like, the visuals were really cool. And I think it was really cool.
All right. William, what are we on? What was your number four?
My number four is Avengers Infinity War. And I know some people think Avengers Infinity War is the absolute best Marvel movie. I don't think it's the best, but... So when I first saw this, I thought it was really good. Then I saw it two more times, I thought it was awesome. And now I've seen it four times by now. And the more times I saw it, the more times I just loved it. I love, like, the Battle of Wakanda, the Battle of Titan. Some characters get some really cool deaths. There's some really cool, like, interactions. There's really great cinematography. The score is really good. I love this movie.
All right. Next is...
My number three
is Guardians of the Galaxy. The first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's so refreshing. Like, I think it really introduced kind of this, you can have a really comic movie. You can have characters that are kind of goofy, kind of this oddball cast of kind of weird. You can have, like, this, you know, one character that's basically a tree, one character that's a mutated raccoon, and all these oddball misfits come together. It's a really well done movie. I liked how colorful it was. I liked how jokey it was. And I liked that it kind of introduced all that into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
for me and Will, like, we can't really remember it, so.
Okay, I remember some parts of it. I was, like, 11 or 12. I remember enjoying a lot of parts of it. But when I'm 11 or 12, I have a pretty low attention span. So
it's
there's
been that
some,
long since you've seen it?
Yes. I remember I saw it on, like, DVD or something, but. So there's some parts that I can't really judge fairly, but I remember really enjoying some parts.
Yeah.
I just don't really remember too much, and I was too young at the time.
Well, maybe you'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, I just can't really give it a fair grading.
Okay. Henry, what's your number three?
Mine is Avengers Infinity War. I thought it was a really good movie. Everyone was great in it and got, like, a good amount of time on screen, and it was just really, really, really good.
Yeah, my number three is Thor Ragnarok. I mean, you pretty much nailed it. It's just a wacky 80s adventure with, like, pretty much every character is awesome. Except for Hela. Hela's just kind of okay. I know the audiences are kind of split on Hela. Everyone else was awesome. It's just an absolute blast. I remember when I saw it. At the time, it was my absolute favorite Marvel movie.
All right, and that brings us to
number two.
My number two movie was Avengers Endgame. We've already talked a lot about why we loved Avengers Endgame. That was my second favorite movie. It's really, really good. It's not my favorite movie, but it's really, really good.
I'm okay with that, actually.
Avengers Endgame, for all the reasons we talked about in the first part of this podcast, is my number two favorite movie as of today.
Feels like a reward for keeping up with the MCU for so long.
Yeah. My number two is Thor Ragnarok. me and William are kind of in an argument about whether or not it's better than Black Panther, but I feel like you can't really compare it that much because they're drastically different movies. But I just really, 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 really like Thor Ragnarok. Like, the characters are great. There's so many great jokes. Like, just everyone's great in it. And it was just a fun movie. And maybe it's only this high up because, like, it's rewarding, like, after seeing the first two Thor movies, which were bland and uninteresting, to see this. It was just so amazing.
William, what's your number two?
My number two is Black Panther, obviously. So the first time I saw Black Panther, I thought it was decent. And, like, everyone around me was saying it was, like, the best MCU movie. I was like, maybe I need to rewatch this one, which I usually watch most MCU movies. I rewatched it when it came out on Netflix. Or no, actually, I think I rewatched it when it came out on Amazon. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I rewatched this because I loved it. I've heard some people complain about the action. I thought the action was awesome. Even the one where, like, it's all dark and he's like fighting some people with guns.
I didn't like that because I couldn't see anything.
I liked how I couldn't see anything, though. It was cool. It was like Batman. And I liked how almost every single character had an arc. Like, the Rhino guy was, like, on, he was, like, very, like, the ways of Wakanda, but not the ways of his friend. Okoyoke was kind of, like, in between. And same with Black Panther's girlfriend. I can't remember her name. Shuri was, like, completely behind, or, like, completely ahead of Wakanda and just cared about technology. The FBI guy was being introduced to Wakanda, and then Black Panther's just kind of in the middle of all of it and trying to comprehend all of it. The backstory with Killmonger was awesome. Claw was really cool. I feel like people don't give enough credit to Claw. And, of course, the cinematography and visuals were amazing, and the soundtrack is just incredible. This movie is just basically a masterpiece.
And we're down to our number one movie.
Number one.
My number one movie is Black Panther. For all the reasons you said. For me, it's because I think it does the best job of any of the Marvel movies at world building. Like, it creates this completely well thought out world of Wakanda that's completely different from anything anybody's ever seen before. It's got, like, high tech, but it's also got this a lot of tradition and a lot of kind of the African tribal element. I thought the art direction is really great. I thought the acting was really great. I think Killmonger is one of the most interesting villains in the MCU. I liked a lot of the subplots and the minor characters a lot. I think it's a really, really well-made movie. It's a really quality movie. Black Panther is my number one, still okay. My number one Marvel movie.
But for me, there are like a couple of issues that bump it down a bit.
No, and you said that when you mentioned it. What is your number one movie, Henry?
Everyone's going to expect this. Avengers Endgame.
Yep.
Yeah. That's...
We already mentioned why.
All right. My number one is it's Avengers Endgame, obviously. I hadn't mentioned it before, so like, what else could I put here?
Pretty good movie.
I mean, it just feels like incredible. It doesn't feel like a movie. It feels like an experience, and like it's just like a reward for the MCU so long. It's like,
yeah,
the MCU.
If you're an MCU fan, go and see it.
Yeah.
So the only thing left to say is, I feel really bad about some of the movies that didn't make my list.
Yeah.
There are three movies in particular that the original Avengers, Captain America Winter Soldier, which I really like a lot. I feel like it should have made my top 10, but it didn't. And then the other one is Avengers Infinity War. It was not in my top 10. But
Ant-Man is because made it above Infinity War.
I enjoy Ant-Man more than Infinity War. Infinity War, I liked Endgame better than Infinity War. I think Infinity War for me, I don't know, like sometimes I don't always love the big collaboration movie, like the big multi-character crossover movies, just because there's so much going on that I would rather have a more straightforward story with just one main superhero.
Okay, the thing about Infinity War is, and I'm not alone on this, it takes a couple rewatches to fully appreciate. Because then,
could,
like, you
it
can.
It could be that, and I've only seen it once in the theater.
Yeah.
And I've seen it three times.
I thought it was pretty good the first time I saw it, but it did take me a couple rewatches to really appreciate it.
So, you know, Winter Soldier, the original Avengers, and Avengers Infinity War, they're all really good movies. They could have been in my top 10. But we're not.
So did I keep.
Do you have any movies you felt like that? Like,
yeah, but sort of in a different way. Like specifically, like Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. The two I like. The only memories of the very few memories I have of those movies were like amazing memories, and I remember really, really liking them.
Yeah.
But I can't remember them very well, so I can't really put them on this list.
So I keep like a running like Google Docs list that I started when we were in Mexico City of like. Every single superhero movie that I've seen that's ranked has a score, like a number score out of 10, using the 0.5 system, and has like a 2-sentence review attached to each of them. And I just kind of picked like a top 10 that were in there, but I had to kind of decide which ones I could remember enough to review. And the ones I can remember enough to review that didn't make this were the first two Thor movies, Iron Man 3 and Ant-Man. Now, I actually really like both Iron Man 3 and Ant-Man, so I feel bad that those didn't make the list. I don't feel bad that the first two Thor movies didn't make the list. I think they're decent, but I don't feel bad about not putting them here. The only thing I felt bad about was that this would be just the MCU, so I didn't get to rave about like movies that made my top 10, like Unbreakable or Incredibles 2 or Into the Spider-Verse or stuff like that. But other than that, I think this turned out to be pretty solid.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
For treat yourself today, I've got some candy that I picked up at an Indian grocery store. So I noticed the last time I was in an Indian grocery store picking up some ingredients for cooking, they have some international candy at the checkouts. I have an organic sesame bar. It's like a little candy bar made of sesame seeds. I've got a Cadbury flake bar. It's a chocolate bar with chocolate flakes in it.
I didn't know Cadbury is international.
And I've got something called Nestle Smarties. These are not like Smarties like we think of. They're Smarties that they sell internationally.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they have
They're
chocolate
kinda
in
like
them?
They're kind of like
M&Ms. Yeah.
But I've heard, I've never actually had these before, but I've heard people say these are like way better than M&Ms because the chocolate is really good.
I think we have a good track record for... I think so far this podcast is a good track record for international candy, so I'm pretty excited.
Okay, the first one we're going to try is the organic sesame bar. So it's basically a bunch of sesame seeds stuck together with toffee. We'll try this out, and we'll come back and tell you what we think. What do you guys think?
That's kind of weird. I'm getting that a meh.
I'm getting that an okay.
M-E-H. Meh.
Oh. I also give it a meh. Henry gives it a... It tastes what I imagine bird seed tastes like, because I think it's basically bird seed.
Yeah, all the seeds make it taste like earthy, kind of. And that's a little weird.
Yeah, and I thought it'd just be like a coat of sesame seeds around toffee, but there's sesame seeds on the inside too.
I kept on switching from like, hey, this is kind of good, to like, oh, this is weird, just because of the weird seed taste.
Kind of weird. Yeah,
there's barely any toffee.
All right, let's try Smarties. These are Nestle Smarties. They're not like the Smarties we think of in this country. They're basically like M&M's, except they're in different colors.
Excited for these.
Nestle chocolate.
Wait, purple M&M's, I'm hoping?
Thank you.
Purple and green and yellow and
purple
brown.
Purple M&M's, yay.
Except they're not M&M's, they are Nestle Smarties.
They're like this is the closest faded, we're going to get to purple M&M's.
They're faded Easter colors, kind of like
that. Yeah, they're kind of pastel color.
Yeah.
So
kind of like that.
All right.
So, I feel like I almost feel like I'm a little biased just because the sesame taste stole my mouth, but that was actually really good. I really like the quality of the chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, once the sesame taste got out of my mouth, I could really enjoy it.
I give it delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I also give it delicious.
And I also give it delicious. I thought it was really good. Interesting, like, do you like this better or worse than M&M's?
I don't know.
I think better because, like, even though the candy shell is a bit ruined because of its size, I guess, or something about the candy shell, I don't know.
I think I like it better, too. I think I like the chocolate better.
I still kind of like it better.
I mean, the thing with M&M's is you can, like...
The chocolate's, like, a little more creamy or something, I don't know.
The thing with M&M's, it's much better if you have, like, one or two at a time and don't just chow down on it. But these kind of force you to savor it just because they're bigger. Mm. I guess I would like these better, but I'm less used to these, so...
Yeah. But they're pretty good. We think they're all... We all think that they are delicious.
Yeah, the chocolate has a very creamy taste.
Last one to try is the Cadbury Flake.
I really hope this will be good.
I have pretty good expectations for this.
What do you think of Cadbury?
That's chocolate.
Really good. The quality of the chocolate is really good, but the flakes are weird.
Yeah, I feel like it just flaked in my mouth and I couldn't hold it.
It's really crumbly. It kind of looks like a log made out of ribbons of chocolate, if that makes any sense.
It's made to crumble as you eat it.
Yeah.
Like and in a flaky way.
It says it is the crumbliest, really flakiest milk chocolate.
So this is like the most unexpectedly what the heck treat yourself for me, because like Sesame bar tasted weirdly earthy, which I didn't expect.
Yeah,
the sesame
bar was bad. I kind of wish we wouldn't have had that first, because I still got the taste in my mouth.
That was unexpected, and this just, like, crumbled as I ate it, and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I feel like because of the crumbliness, when it melted, either it melted faster or when it melted, it just tasted better. But for some reason, the melting is just better. I give it delicious. Low delicious.
Yeah, delicious.
Both saying it was delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Something about the texture I didn't totally care for. I'm going to say it was okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it just because it's weird to eat. But judging by the taste itself,
delicious. So, anyway. So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for doing a long podcast about Marvel movies mostly, but other stuff too.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Talk to Dad Podcast. You can find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend, and two, you can give us a 5-star rating. If you subscribe, rate, and review us anywhere you find podcasts, that helps us be a little bit more visible to other people who might be looking for a family-friendly podcast. So this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. It's time for-